I am Michael Gillison, executive editor of Migalias International, and I welcome you to this week's edition of our podcast, which takes you behind the scenes of our editorial desk. Squaring off on legal news and legal observations, we feature today two stories. A tough welcome. A couple of weeks ago, in an extraordinary blunt exchange, Columbia University President Lee Ballinger introduced Ahmadinejad to a packed lecture hall by criticizing his policy toward Israel and his refusal to believe widely accepted historical accounts on the Holocaust. When you come to a place like this, it makes you, quite simply, ridiculous, Ballinger said. You're either brazenly provocative or astonishingly uneducated. In this segment, we will look at some of the reasons why Ahmadinejad received both applause and laughter. There's a hint of inevitability about it. Outsourcing to India and other lower-cost developing nations is the hottest topic in today's global marketplace. The latest industry to join the outsourcing rat race is the legal sector. Law firms are already familiar with certain kinds of outsourcing, but today, the internet makes it possible for parts of a project to be assembled from multiple countries and multiple time zones with little disruption. The overwhelming interest for outsourcing shows that law firms really want to get more actively and visibly involved in having a voice in shaping our field in the future. In the second part, we will look at outsourcing legal services. Applause and laughter for a true madman. There are many reasons I find Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad's policies and pronouncements loathsome. Ahmadinejad was given a combative introduction by Colombia President Lee Ballinger, but when he began his remarks by swinging back at Ballinger, several in the audience actually applauded him. More applause occurred when he called for Palestinian self-determination, which in itself is curious. When Ahmadinejad claimed that Iran was the victim of U.S.-sponsored terrorism and was the first nation that objected to terrorism, there was even more applause. When he defended Iranian execution by asking, "Don't you have capital punishment in the United States?" there was more applause. When he said that nuclear weapons go against the whole grain of humanity, more applause. When he suggested that George W. Bush was retarded, more applause. And when he finished his performance, there was another spate of applause, just for good measure. How hospitable of them. Of course, it wasn't all hearts and flowers. When Ahmadinejad suggested that we may not know the real truth about the Holocaust, the audience was largely quiet, with some scattered moans. Likewise, it was impassive when he asked who was really involved in 9/11. And it was positively derisive, moved to actual boos and laughter, when Ahmadinejad said, regarding homosexuality, that in Iran, we do not have this phenomenon. I mean, really, you can rewrite the history of the Second World War, call for the destruction of Israel, insult all leaders, and lie about nuclear weapon while waging a low-grade war against U.S. troops. But the bounds of civilized discourse only go so far. Of course, that's the point. The academy has become so warped that it seeks civilized discourse with dangerous madmen, yet it spews rage and protest against rational people with whom it has political disagreements. This philosophical inversion would be pathetic were it not so pernicious. It's pernicious because events such as the Columbia debacle do not take place in the vacuum. The Iranian media reported the speech as a triumph, noting how the audience on repeated occasions applauded. To suffering Iranian liberals and dissidents, this must be a body blow. In case you've forgotten, in Iran, real people face real repression every day. Liberal political dissidents are routinely tortured. Ahmadinejad's movement have excited a furious response from some Americans. Colombia is basically sponsoring the kickoff concert for Ahmadinejad's Death to America tour, said Peter Johnson. President Bush said, "He's the head of a state sponsor of terror, and yet an institution in our country gives him a chance to express his point of view, which really speaks to the freedom of the country." Unlike Iran's citizens, Americans have the right to laugh at leaders, as well as protest Ahmadinejad's visit and Colombia's decision to schedule a speech. The threats of possible sanctions against Colombia were an insult to that freedom. "I hope cooler heads prevailed once Ahmadinejad left town. And I hope that what Americans and Iranians will remember is that image of professors and students, in a true democratic forum, challenging the Iranian president for his Holocaust denial, his threats against Israel, and the repression of Iran's citizens." Outsourcing legal services, Manhattan work at Mumbai prices. Contrary to popular perception, Shakespeare did not really suggest that killing all the lawyers might be a good thing, but that hasn't stopped some people from wishing they would just go away. And now they are. Attorneys are the latest to see their jobs outsourced. When Bruce Masterson, the chief operating officer of Socrates Media, asked his outside counsel to customize a residential lease for all 50 U.S. states in 2003, the firm's estimate was about $400,000. He rejected that cost and hired Quislex, a firm in Hyderabad, India, that did the work for $45,000. "It was good quality," said Masterson, whose company, which is based in Chicago, publishes legal form on the Internet. "We have been working together ever since. Clients are pushing law firms like Jones Day and Kirkland & Ellis to send basic legal tasks to India, where lawyers tag documents and investigate takeover targets for as little as $20 an hour. The firms are part of a trend that will move about 50,000 U.S. legal jobs overseas by 2015, according to Forrester Research in Boston. Companies with in-house legal department in India include DuPont, Cisco System, and Morgan Stanley. General Electric sends about $3 million a year in routine legal work to its Indian affiliate. The objective is to have only the most valuable people in London or New York, and the others in India, China, or Columbus, Ohio. Jones Day now sends low-end work to the cheapest locations and plans to open a document center in India. India has very talented lawyers. In India, legal education is based on common law and conducted in English, requiring 2 or 3 years of classes. There's even a new standardized exam for Indian lawyers who want to work in outsourcing. It's called the Global Legal Professional Certification Test, and it measures a lawyer's command of English, substantive law, lawyering skills and ethics, the skill thought to be necessary in this field. Indian lawyers typically work on time-consuming and laborious jobs like patent drafting, contract drafting, document review, corporate secretary work, legal research and writing, contract management, and corporate due diligence. But it's a misconception that you can just send work there and it gets done. You need proper supervision and security. It is also essential to understand the difference between American concept of privilege and mere confidentiality. A lawyer's ethics duties for confidentiality go beyond the business concept of protecting proprietary information and preserving customer data. One incentive for corporations to send legal work overseas is that ethics rules compel law firms to disclose their profit margins. Traditionally, law firms charge client markups of as much as 3 times what they pay associate and contract attorneys. Law firms can earn more by using labor they can markup without disclosure. Clients are knowledgeable about costs, and they want to negotiate the markup on these charges. I am not an advocate of offshoring legal services, but having worked in this area for so long, I understand the value of the model. The Indian legal services industry will more than quadruple to $640 million by 2010 from $146 million in 2006. One immutable obstacle, the guild-like nature of the U.S. legal profession. Government regulations mandate that only lawyers who are licensed in the U.S. can give legal advice on American law. That effectively means that Indian-trained lawyers who are not registered to practice anywhere in the U.S. are severely restricted in the types of legal work they can perform. But clearly, outsourcing legal services is more than a fad. And that's it for this week. Thanks for listening. We hope you join us again next time. In the meantime, please visit us at migalias.com. Goodbye.